Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dr. Joseph Bottom's work in cyber ethics has helped transform the landscape at Dakota State University in Madison and beyond. But he also really, really likes Christmas. He's a prolific writer of Christmas essays and Christmas fiction and Christmas carols. His book is called The Christmas Plains. He joins us now from Spearfish. Dr. Bottom, welcome.
Thanks.
There.
It's out here in the Black Hills, we seem to have to communicate by smoke snickle and Pony Express.
Send the sled dog this way. It's wrap it up on the sled and send it with the Christmas tree. Welcome. Now, before we were ever introduced to each other in person or on this program, I actually met you through this book, because before I knew who you were, I found this book and fell in love with it, The Christmas Plains. And I'm wondering, what is it about Christmas that, as a topic, as a theme, that brings you back again and again as a writer?
Well, part of it is, of course, the inescapability of childhood. And, you know, one has traditions at Christmas, and they are precisely the ones that one knew as a child and wants to recreate. Mm-hmm. Part of it is my Christian faith. And part of it is actually related to my philosophical training, because the great problem that we face here in late modern times is what Max Weber called the disenchantment of the world. The progression of the modern age has been wonderful technologically. It's been wonderful in terms of medicine. It's been wonderful in terms of computers over the last 40 years. But along the way, it strips out something that every human culture before modern times had known, which is a world that was alive in some sense, alive spiritually, alive emotionally, a world that was thick, in the sociologist's word, a world that felt as though it were infused with grace. Mm. And one of the reasons I find myself coming back again and again to Christmas in my writing, in my philosophical thinking, is because Christmas is a place where the wall between the spiritual and the mundane, the wall between the ordinary and the supernatural, the wall between a world that feels empty of meaning and a world that feels rich with meaning, that wall is thinner at Christmas. The world feels more like possibly a special place, bright with grace and filled with meaning and thick with love.
Talk to those people who say, and I know you did this in a recent essay, talk to those people who say, but it's so commercialized. None of that is left anymore. It is now all about, you know, selling me products and, you know, buy a car for Christmas, and it's just so overdone.
Well, yes, it is overdone. But you know what? So is God's grace. I mean, it's, you know, the world is alive at Christmas with all kinds of bizarre stuff. The image I think I picked in that particular essay, or maybe it was a different one, was a giant inflated reindeer on
yes.
a lawn.
Yeah.
And I drove past it and I thought, you know what? I actually like that. I know I have friends who sneer. I have friends and acquaintances who think it's vulgar. I have friends and acquaintances who want a tasteful Christmas. And my view is, tastefulness is just small-mindedness pretending to be art. Go for it. The incarnation, the root of the word there is carne, it's the Latin word for meat and flesh. And this is like a medieval festival. It's overdone. It's got layered of over it other things that the culture is concerned with. In our case, it's a culture that's concerned with commercialism. But none of that detracts. In its weird and slightly misguided way, it actually adds to the holiday. It's this sort of attempt to, add to gild this thing that is already golden. And we do that in some vague sense that we're actually participating in the re-enchantment of reality.
Let's talk about Advent. and the disappearance of Advent, because something is lost if we are not paying attention as Christians to that season of waiting.
Well, it is. It's literally adventual. It's a time unto. And the readings that the churches do during this period are all the Old Testament passages of waiting, of anticipation, of hope that something new will come. That a light will come out of Bethlehem, that a star will shine. All of these images, all of these legends that grew up around Christmas are, you know, born of this sense that something is coming. Now, Advent is, in the traditional Christian calendar, Advent is a penitential time. It's like Lent. It's a time for sacrifice and prayer and cleaning up one's life as best one can in preparation for this great event. And one of the things that has happened to us, part of the disenchantment of even Christmas, is that we, you know, start getting... I saw Christmas advertisements. I heard one on the radio this year before Halloween.
Right.
And I began to think, by the time Christmas Day actually rolls around, it's going to feel like a relief from the Christmas season instead of the fulfillment of the Christmas season.
Right.
And that's one of the things you lose if you, sort of overburden Advent, if you make it a time of celebration rather than a time of waiting and, a penitential time, the way Advent is supposed to be. You know, the 12 days of Christmas, which I think have come back into our consciousness solely for commercial purposes, The 12 days of Christmas actually begin on Christmas Day. Mm. They're the next days after Christmas. And we get them, sort of, we have the 12 days of Christmas now beforehand. When Shakespeare writes Twelfth Night, it's a play to be performed on the 12th day of Christmas. And that's why it's a comedy, which was traditional for that last day. And, you know, it's why the title of that play seems to have nothing to do with what's actually in the play.
Right.
And in the same way, you know, we should have this sense that the joy and the celebration reach their peak on Christmas Day and kind of run through a holiday season from there, because the thing for which we were waiting, the adventual thing, has eventually arrived. And after that comes the celebration. Still, you know, even the kind of misplaced celebration that we have, born of a weakening of some of these ideas and their grasp upon the culture, even us now, still are being Christmassy, you know? We're still participating in this sense. And as I say, I write every year tons about Christmas, and I've written Christmas carols, and I've written Christmas poems and Christmas fiction and philosophical and theological analyses of Christmas, and it's all because I can't get Christmas out of my mind. It is, for me, that time when this whole run after Thanksgiving is this time when the wall gets just a little thinner and I can hear the angels just beyond the edge of hearing.
We have an excerpt of a Christmas carol I want to play here in a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your Christmas carol works and how they're being recorded and how people can find them.
Well, they're available on iTunes and from Amazon, and there are postings of videos of them, of a couple of them anyway, on YouTube at a channel called Remodeled Music. Mm. And what it mostly is, you know, my last poetry book was a songbook that I started because I was having trouble. I was kind of frozen and wasn't getting any new poetry out. So I started writing lyrics to existing melodies as a way of just sort of forcing myself to get going again. You know, we're just kind of rolling along with the music. Then you don't have to think up a rhythm, too. And excuse me, and as I did that, I found, you know, Christmas intruding the way Christmas does everywhere, Lori, for me. You know, it intrudes on my thoughts. It intrudes, as I think it does on yours or most of us. It intrudes on our visual sense, our feeling for the turn of the year. Christmas just kind of gets it in there. In the words of P.G. Woodhouse, it was that time when Christmas was once again at our throats. he writes in one of the Bertie Wooster and Jeeves stories.
Dr. Joseph Bottom, I want to make sure our time is short. We want to leave listeners with one of these carols. And I'm going to put some links up on our website after the program so you can find more of his work. The book, of course, is called The Christmas Plains. Lots of other stuff will point you in the right direction, too. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Some come because as children they sang old Christmas songs. Some come because as children they suffered hurts and wrongs. The wounded, poor and shattered, the heartsick, lost and battered. Some come for life restored. Some come to see the Lord. Along the city sidewalks, cold sand.